When we begin to think about God and what He's done, it's pretty amazing, because our minds cannot comprehend what a no beginning and no ending, everlasting, eternal God can do. That's impossible. We cannot in any way, shape, or form comprehend the magnitude of what He does. So, all too often what we do is define Him and what He can do by our thoughts. And those thoughts become our beliefs. So, you end up with some people that say, well, there is no God. And quite frankly, that's an excessively asinine statement. Because you have to be, you can be absolutely brilliant in many areas, but to turn around and say there is no God, you're either living in denial, or you really are ignorant. Because when you really take the time to study, let's just say, science, it is impossible to come to the conclusion there is no God. I've taught enough sermons here, you know, taught on the string theory, I've taught on physics. I have shown you from Scripture in many sermons how that there is a God. And so, you know, if you can say, no, there isn't, that's totally up to you. Then when it comes to how a lot of people want to talk about God, and they talk about, well, you know, just open the newspaper someday, read the obituaries. How that so many people, you know, went to the promise up yonder. Or however they say it in the obituaries. You know, I find it interesting how that to this date, I've never read an obituary in all my life where it says that, you know, so-and-so didn't believe in God, died, and went to hell. Who puts that in an obituary? You know, everybody is at least, to some degree, a nice guy when they die. Or a nice, I mean, you know, they always put something in there. I mean, the only thing, the one obituary I saw a few years ago, man, it was weird. It was like some lady named, you know, Susie Smith. I don't remember her name. And I'm looking through the obituaries and I see this one. And there it is, you know, Smith, comma, Susie, whatever. And then underneath it, here's what it said. Susie's dead. That's it. That's it. I mean, there was no notification of viewing, a service, a funeral home, a church, nothing. Just Susie's dead. Like, okay, well, I guess that's why she's in there. Makes sense to me. But usually, things are put in nice. And it's almost like people are trying to convince you the person who died was okay. Meaning okay with God, because now that they're gone, it doesn't matter how many people on earth they were okay with, they're gone. So then people want to define what it takes, you know, well, you know, so-and-so died. Boy, I tell you, she's in a better place. He's in a better place. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? How can you say that? What was the legacy of their life? Because, see, the moment that somebody starts talking about they're in a better place, okay, what's the name of this better place? Well, you know, heaven. Okay, well, how'd they get there? Well, you know, they were, you know, pretty good here on earth. Pretty good. So then, based on your understanding of that person and that person's life, you then are defining the requirements to get into heaven. Because you said they went to a better place. When I asked you how you know that, you said because they were a good person. Well, do you understand that the revelation of heaven originates with one book only? And that's the Bible. Every other book that has spoken of heaven has gotten that idea somehow, some way, from the Bible. Now, there are no exceptions. Don't come and argue with me about it. There are no exceptions. So then, this revelation of heaven, which originates in the Bible, it demands that I find out from the Bible what it takes to get there. Well, when I get into the Bible and I begin reading, I find out there's only one way to get into heaven, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. And then a lot of people want to say, well, yeah, I mean, I believe it, you know, I mean, Jesus, yeah, he came to earth. Okay, and? Well, you know, they crucified him. I mean, that's what I was told. They crucified him. Okay, and? Well, he rose from the dead. Okay, and? Well, I guess he went back to heaven. I mean, you know, that's what I've heard. So then that qualifies you to go to heaven. You see, when it comes to believing in Jesus, you've got to believe what the Bible says about him, what the Bible, why he came, and what you have to do in response to what he did. And when you start asking questions like that, you're going to find out a lot of people have no clue. You go, why did he come down in the first place? Well, I don't know. I mean, he just came down. Why? Why did he come down? Because when you start asking questions like that, then you find out what people really believe. And all too often as Christians, what we've done is we've candy-coated salvation and told people, just believe in Jesus, you know? Well, there's a lot of people believe in Jesus. A lot of people in a lot of weird religions believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, he was, you know, a great prophet. Well, yeah, he was. But what else was he? Well, he's a good man. Okay, yeah, what else was he? What does the Bible say about Jesus? If we do not accept that standard, it is impossible to go to heaven. Impossible. You will go to hell. And, you know, that's not a popular thing to say in churches nowadays. Okay, well, what should I say? What would be the right thing to tell somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? What would be the right thing, according to what we see in the Word of God, what would be the right thing to say? Be good? What would be the right thing to say? Because, see, when you go through the Bible, you begin to see a revelation of how that if you push Jesus away and you do not accept what is revealed from Scripture about him, you don't make it. Doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how good you are. You don't make it. Hey, listen, I have no doubt but what at times Hitler was nice to people. You say things like that, people think, oh, there's no way. Yeah, there was. I can prove it. He was able to get people to believe in him. You don't get people to believe in you by beating up, killing, and torturing everybody you come in contact with. You've got to do something to convince people you know what you're doing. You have to gain their trust. And if people don't like you, there is no trust. Look what's going on in this country right now. Everybody can be nice, but see, the Bible sets the standard. If it weren't for the Bible, we wouldn't know what to do. I mean, I know, well, the Holy Spirit can, I get that. But let's be honest here. If it weren't for the Bible, we wouldn't know what to do. And even the Bible tells us, get in the Bible, and you find out what to do. You know, whatever we see in the Word, it is a truth that is irrefutable. And so, you either accept it or you don't. It's totally up to you. And see, that's the thing. You hear a lot of people say, well, you know, when God wants me to do this, change that, be something, he'll make me. No, he won't. No, he won't. Look, God created a perfect universe with a perfect earth and two perfect people. They messed it up. That was not his will. I heard of a preacher one time telling people that God created Adam and Eve perfect and all that, but it was his will for them to sin so that God could send his son Jesus. That is, remember that word I used a little bit ago? Asinine? Okay, well, that's another one of those things. That's stupid. Absolutely stupid. And see, it proves people like that don't know the Word of God. All you have to do is listen, and you're going to find out where people are coming from. And you also can observe what is the lifestyle, what is the testimony of how you live. And, you know, people say actions speak louder than words. Well, in some cases, that's true. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different. First we're going to read, and then I'm going to come back with a question and lead into some more things about the Word, okay? Now, I'd ask you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 19. And what I want you to do is begin reading out loud with me. Now, that's going to be hard to do if you don't have the Bible with you. I've been in churches, people just show up, they don't bring their Bibles. It's like, you know what? That's like going to class without your textbook. And in some classrooms, the teacher will embarrass the stink out of you by pointing you out and asking you, where is your textbook? And all the rest of the people in the class. Well, God, if you don't have it with you tonight, God's asking you, where is it? Well, it's at home, I think, God. Yeah, right. Okay, Acts. Proverbs chapter 19, and just begin reading out loud with me, please. Beginning in verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, the soul that be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. Be that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant, to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his way shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel, and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge.
He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked, and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious woman, an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Okay, we'll stop there. Now, what just happened? Well, Pastor, we read the Bible. Okay, yeah. But what just happened? According to Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower just sowed the word. Do you understand that? The sower just sowed the word. So who was the sower? You. You, me, every person watching. The sower just sowed the word. What else happened? Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, we were just reading from the book of Proverbs. So here's what happened. Beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Do you realize what we just did began activating those promises? Doesn't matter what you felt. God said, here is what the proverbs will do. And as we sat in here and began reading this, we were activating this promise. That means for three chapters of Proverbs, however much of that could be fulfilled in our lives just took place. Yeah, well, I don't feel anything. Doesn't matter. It just took place. Because see, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are born again, then your spiritual life is compatible with the Word of God. And because your spiritual life is compatible with the Word of God, what we just read caused these six verses to start operating in our lives. That means we've gained. In the last few minutes, we gained. And what we read began working in us to prepare us for the instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion, to know wisdom, instruction, perceive the words of understanding. Okay, this is now working at us more than it was 10 minutes ago, because we sowed the word. How simple was that? Incredibly simple. Well, what else happened? Well, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. See this? Do you realize what we just did? As we were in here reading those three chapters of Proverbs, then essentially
three chapters of life were spoken into our life. And not only that, as we were reading this, we were depositing into our lives health to all our flesh. We were speaking healing, if there's healing necessary. He doesn't say health to one part. He says health to the entire body. Health to all their flesh. You know, when you take a pill and that pill dissolves, I can remember many years ago, you know, I was just a kid and I couldn't figure out, okay, when I take the pill and it dissolves in my tummy, how does it know where to go? Like if my foot is hurting, how does it know to go to my foot? Or if I got a cough, you know, how does it know to go to my cough? How does it know? And then I remember, I learned, well, it doesn't. Because once you take that pill and it gets absorbed by the body, guess what? That medication is flowing through your entire body. It's not selective. And as it's flowing through your entire body, when it comes in contact with what it's supposed to help, then it starts doing its thing. Here, he says, my words are health to all your flesh. So what you've done with those three chapters, you have input three chapters of healing power to your body. Every single one of us. And do you realize it's possible for some people, those three chapters could be all that's needed at this point for a healing to fully manifest. But you just took, you know, medication, if you want to call it that. Because God says His word is health to all their flesh. Well, now see, this goes back to that, what we were talking about at the beginning. You either believe this or you don't. Our minds can't understand it. How in the world can just reading the Bible, like what we just did, have any impact on my physical body? I don't understand it. God could say, well, of course you don't. You're not God. You don't have the ability or the power to infuse a book of words with healing power. You don't have that ability. You can't do that. But I'm God, and I've done it. And if He were going to speak to us, He would say, you just got three chapters of healing deposited into your body. Divine supernatural healing. What else has happened? Well, look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The simple meaning those who don't yet know, those who don't yet understand. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding, discernment, perception, insight unto the simple. Do you realize, as we were reading the word, His words were gaining entrance into us. See that? And what that means is we have just gained a greater level of understanding in the Word of God. Now, sometimes people might say, okay, what? You know, three chapters, big whoop. Okay, well, on a scale of 1 to 100, maybe we just increased to level 2 of understanding. But we walked in at level 1. I know you understand what I'm saying. It just happened. See, it just happened a few minutes ago because we read the Bible. Because we were sowing it into our lives. And so therefore, the entrance of God's Word, it has brought light. You know, the light went off. It has brought understanding. We may not yet realize what we currently understand as a result, but it brought understanding. And who knows, maybe the understanding it brought tonight is the understanding of this truth I'm showing you. Like, oh yeah, now I get it. Well, what else happened? Well, look over in Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith came. We just got three chapters of faith. Faith came. See, as I'm standing here, some of the expressions on your faces, not everybody, but you're kind of like, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying, but are you sure? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You just got three chapters of faith. Well, what am I going to do with three chapters of faith? Well, I don't know. But it's three chapters more than what you had when you got here. You just got three chapters of faith. You get this? This is what's happened. As we all we did was sit here and read. And faith came. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith came. This is why I had you read it out loud. Faith came. Three chapters of faith. Now, I know that that is kind of a simplistic way to explain it, but it helps us to grasp the concept. We just got three chapters of faith. And the thing is, we could go back and read those same three chapters, and we'd get another three chapters of faith. And somebody might say, well, now, wait a minute. You already used up all the faith in those three chapters. No. You can't exhaust it. And here's the thing. Those three chapters, we could read those three chapters in Proverbs over and over and over again for the next half hour. By the time we're done, you're going to see things in those three chapters you didn't see the first time through. A lot of it's going to make more sense to you than it ever did. And who knows, some of you might get convicted over something. I don't know. Or some of you might realize, oh wow, now I see what's happening in my life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, well, what else? Turn to Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed, or do not remain conformed, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, no, comprehend, without a shadow of a doubt, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you realize what just happened a few minutes ago? What we did was, we sat here, well, I stood, but we sat here, we presented our bodies a living sacrifice. What do you mean by that? Well, you came here and you're in the service. You could have been out playing miniature golf. I mean, you could have been doing all kinds of things, but no, you came here. And you brought, you know, your body to church, and we experienced three chapters of transformation. And our mind, our thought process, the way we think, the way we analyze. See, the more you put the Word of God in you is the more you're going to analyze situations, circumstances, your life, and everything that you encounter from the perspective of God. Because this is His Word. This is a revelation of His existence. His character, His nature, His way of thinking. And so the more of His word that we put in is the more that we transform our mind to His way of thinking. Or, you know, to the mind of Christ, as Paul wrote. And then we begin seeing things and understanding things differently. When that happens, you stop a lot of complaining. You stop a lot of blaming. Oh God, why haven't you? You begin to understand what's going on.
He says right here, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're born again. The spiritual work, okay, that's happened. But now I need to renew my mind. Or take my mind and replace that word renewing. It comes from a Greek word that's describing replacing the old with new. The old way of thinking with a new way of thinking. What's the new way of thinking right here? What we were just reading. See, I can tell you right now, this isn't happening the way it should in the body of Christ. Christians aren't doing this. You say, well, how do you know that? Listen to what they say. Listen to what they believe. Listen to what they teach. See, when your mind is transformed and it comes into, I don't know what you want to call it, when it comes into agreement with who you are in Christ, you're going to be different. You'll talk different. You'll think different. You'll respond different. You'll believe differently. And it will show. And so what we did, we just had three chapters of mind renewal. Yeah, but I don't understand. How does it work? That's not what we're after. We're not after trying to come up with some kind of a, you know, chalkboard formula. What we're doing is taking a look at what God has said and just accepting it. I don't have to understand the process. I don't have to understand how God did it this way. I just have to accept this is what He said. And then I go with it from that point. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Why is that? Well, verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that word perfect essentially is talking about being fully mature in your relationship with Christ. And so he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, that would include what we read over there in Proverbs. And he says, it is profitable. If it's profitable, that means it brings increase. And if it brings increase, then what it's doing is bringing increase to me from where I was to where I'll be. In other words, think of it like this. We just had three chapters of profit in our lives. We just had three chapters of increase in our lives. Now, I know that three chapters alone will not by themselves produce everything God wants in our life. But it is three chapters of increase. It is three chapters of profit, as he says. And so therefore, we have, if you will, gone forward in correct doctrine. We have been reproved. We have been corrected. We have received instruction in righteousness. But not only that, we have increased or made progress in the direction of our spiritual perfection or our spiritual maturity. And we have been three chapters of thorough furnishing unto all good works. Well, what are all good works? Everything God wants you to do in His life, in your life. His will. That just happened here tonight. Three chapters of it for every single person who knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here, watching, just listening to this. Every one of us. This has happened for us tonight. Why? All we did was read. That's it. All we did was read and this happened. Now look in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10,
See, we've been more spiritually equipped to fulfill God's will than what we were when we first came in. Now, you could have just sat there and not read and listened, and there would have been impact. But if you had read along, you received a greater impact in your life. But now look at this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you know what just happened earlier when we were reading out of Proverbs? We were exhorting one another. Every single one of you in here who participated in this, every single one of you, wherever you are, if you're like with a group or whatever, you were exhorting the other people in the room. If you were going along with this, if you were reading it out loud, you were exhorting the other people in the room. Now, if you didn't do that, for whatever reason, then you missed an opportunity to fulfill an instruction from God. By reading it out loud, you were exhorting, as he says here, you were, you know, to consider one another, you were being considerate. You were considering the other people in this room. You were esteeming them as being needful of what you could do by reading the Word of God and sowing it into their lives. Because when you were reading it out loud, it wasn't just you sowing into you. You were sowing into all the other people around you. And you were provoking unto love and to good works. You say, well, how did I do that? Because God's Word came from God and God is love. That means this Bible is a revelation of love. I mean, from start to finish. As we deliver the Word of God, as we were speaking it, we were provoking each other unto love and to good works. Now, that doesn't mean people are going to respond. But what it means is we were doing our part. And because we were together doing this, we were exhorting one another. And along with that exhortation was a, if you will, a developing of greater unity and a strengthening of what you could call family bonds within this congregation. That all of this is what, it's what was taking place earlier as we were reading the Word of God. All of this was happening. And all we did was read the Bible. And see, when you're away from here, I mean, look, you know, well, Brother Martin, I don't read the Bible the way I should. Okay, you know what? Let's all line up and take turns and admit it. We don't read the Bible as much as we should, okay? That's all of us. I get it. But when we do this, all of the work that God has said takes place in us is taking place in us. Then what happens when we come back together for our church services? What the Word has done in us then begins ministering to others by virtue of the change that has taken place within. And so now I become more effective in my interaction with you. To make it extremely simple, my handshakes take on a greater meaning. My hugs take on a greater meaning. My hello takes on a greater meaning. Because what's happened in me is not just working in me, but now it's flowing through me. And you can see that happening in the life of Jesus. People knew there was something different about him. When they got around him, they realized, okay, they could sense there was something different. Well, that's a truth for us as well. Now, when we get into the Word of God, everything that we read tonight relative to, you know, here's what the Word is doing. Every time that you get into the Word, this is happening. And it's not just the few passages that we read. When you go through Scripture and you begin to see things, you know, the Word of God will do this, and, you know, thy Word will do that, and, you know, all the things that we see relative to the Word of God, when we get into it, those things are happening in us. Those things are working in us. Because God made a promise, and He said, when my word goes forth from my mouth, it will not return void. It will accomplish everything I send it forth to accomplish. So that means tonight, as we read, His word was accomplishing in us what He said it would do. The more we do this is the more that we increase, is the more that we change, is the more that we develop. And see, as we were going through Proverbs, you know, those three chapters, you know, I'm seeing things in there. We could have stopped, and I could have taught a little bit on a verse here and another one of these verses here and another one of those verses there. I could have done that, but that wasn't the goal. The goal was simply to read the Bible and to get what the Bible says will happen. And it happened. Because God said it would. So, you know, you came in here tonight and, you know, you got three chapters of healing flowing in your body right now. And the more you read, the more healing power that comes from the Word is going to be introduced into your body. I know a guy. He went through a, I don't know what you want to call it, almost like an emotional breakdown. I mean, he just thought he was going crazy. So what he did, he took his Bible, and every day, and I forget, I think it was at least 8 hours a day, all he did was read the Bible out loud. He just kept reading and reading and reading. And I don't know how many times he read through the Bible. And I don't remember exactly how many months he did this. But by the time he was finished, his life was completely changed. All that stuff that he had been going through was gone. And nobody cast anything out of him. The power of God's Word corrected whatever was going on in his mind. Totally corrected it. The guy's been preaching around the world ever since. The power of God flowing through him. Healings, miracles. I know him. I've met him. And he's not shy about sharing that testimony. And he'll tell you what the Word of God will do. It will do everything that God has promised. Now, what that means to us is this. I have a decision to make, but then so do you. And that decision is, what exactly are we going to do with this? In other words, if God says, here's what my word will do for you, and we read the word tonight, and then we saw a few examples of, here's what happens. When you get the word, when it's sown in you, here's what happens. And even though physically or emotionally we may not feel any kind of a change tonight, the fact remains something happened. Even if it's just a small degree, something happened. Does that mean that every time that we're at home and we open our Bible, we have to read out loud? Well, no, it doesn't mean that, but it wouldn't hurt. But you don't have to. But along with that, Have you ever considered listening to the Bible? Just, I remember years ago, I had, you know, the Bible on cassette tape. I mean, that's a long time ago. It was in the car. Every time I drove, I'm listening to the Bible. Every time I drove. On my job, I was allowed to listen to tapes. I listen. Constantly. Listen. The Word. Just constantly listen. And I know it was working in me and establishing a foundation for what I'm doing now. Oh, it doesn't mean that I ended up having the Bible memorized. I don't want to give you that impression. What I was doing was letting the Word to be sown into me. See, it works. And right now, you know, the way things are with technology, you can download the Bible in audio format at no charge. It's free. So, am I saying everybody has to listen to the Bible all the time they're driving? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it is a resource that's available to us. It is something that can be done. You know, it can be played at home. And it doesn't have to be played so loud the neighbors are banging on the door. Would you please turn Joshua down? Tell James to hush. No, I could just be playing in the background. You would be amazed how much your mind picks up. It can just be playing in the background. I think you understand the point I'm making. The Word will bring change and do everything God says, but it's up to us to put it in. If we do, we're guaranteed results because God can't lie. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the Word. And I'm going to fight the flesh and the emotions as much, well, maybe not as much as some people, but I'll fight to get more Word in me. I need it. So do you. Praise God.